Praise God. Well, let's get back into what we have been talking about for the last couple of weeks on the goodness of God, and praise God for the goodness of God. Amen. God is a good, good God. And it needs to be shouted from the rooftops, because the impression that a lot of people have is that God is a mean God. God's out to get you. God's a killjoy. All God will do is just land, you know, a million rules on you. And it's because they don't understand God's heart. They don't understand who God is. They have a wrong impression of God. They don't realize how much God loves us. They just haven't got that impression of God, many people. But you know what? It's important for us to get an understanding of that, to live in the goodness of God, and then we can tell people about a good God. Amen. But you know, as we've been jumping off of this verse here, what David said in Psalms 27, verse 13, he said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." That is right here and now. So David's talking, he is facing opposition. He's facing things that knock the heart out of you. And it can look like, God, are you good? It can look like, God, where is this goodness that we hear about? But David said, "I'd have quit. I'd have give up unless I had believed." You see, David knew God was a good God. So he didn't quit. And that's why it's so important, even if you're in a bad place in life, to get a revelation of the goodness of God so that you can believe for it. Because if you don't, you'll look at what you see and you'll get discouraged. But if you can get a revelation of God's goodness, you'll believe God for to experience the goodness of God right here in the land of the living. A lot of people are waiting till they die, you know, to go to heaven before they experience the goodness of God. But you know what? As often said, you can have steak on the plate here while you wait. You know, you don't have to wait till you go to heaven to have, you know, the streets of gold and all of those kind of things. That's where your only image is here. You know, we just struggle on through. Everything is a struggle in life. You know, yes, there's an enemy and he comes against us, but we're not people that have a struggling mindset. We have a victorious Christian attitude. Doesn't mean to say we don't face things in life. But you know what? You can believe God and experience even the goodness of God here in the land of the living. Amen. It becomes a testimony of the goodness of God. Amen. So David said, "I'd have fainted, give up, quit, backed off, did a runner, hit under a rock," whatever way you want to say it, "unless I had believed to see." That's what eyeballs.
Yes.
Amen. To see it. I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. It's not just going to be a fairy tale. I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life. Why? Because God is a good God. Amen. So that's why it says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. When it doesn't look like it's happening, wait on the Lord. Focus on him. Look to him. See him as a good God. What will he do? He'll strengthen your heart. You can be facing things as discouraging. He'll strengthen your heart, strengthen your faith, so that you stay in that place of, "I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." Amen. Praise God. Thank God for the ability to believe, but thank God whenever you see it.
Amen.
So the goodness of God, as we've said, it means of benefit. When you talk just goodness itself, it means of benefit. So when you talk about the goodness of God, God will benefit your life. God's not a minus. God is a plus and a multiplication. God's not in the business of grinding us down, crushing us. You know what? It's amazing just the mentality some people have. You know, and it's all religion. It stems out of religion that is not scriptural, to where people think God is grinding you down. He's going to break you. He's going to crush you. I don't have an image of God like that. I have an image of a good, good Father. Amen. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? And so we looked at Genesis, and we seen the model in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, where it talks there about, you know, everything God made was good. You know, then God gave him give Adam a wife as well, because it wasn't good for man to be alone. So family, the goodness of God, relationship with God, the goodness of God. But then what we've been looking at the minute, it's only part of the goodness of God. We've been looking at, the blessings, finances, things along those lines. In the garden was also gold and precious stones, and God called it good. And we've been saying, whatever God calls good, we should call it good. And the Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Amen. And we looked at Joseph's brothers. We've seen with them that Pharaoh told Joseph to get your brothers and your father, bring them down to Egypt, and they'll have the good of Egypt. They were given the best. So I told him, leave all your junk, leave anything you have, all that stuff you have in the shed, leave it, don't bother taking it all. Just come, you can eat the good of the land here, you can have the best of the land. Amen. Do you know why? Because that was God's provision for them, to have the good of the land. Amen. We looked at several things. Last week we looked as well, and we seen with the children of Israel in Egypt as well, that God, you know, blessed them and caused them, you know, the wealth of the wicked to come into the hands of the just as well. We looked at that, because a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. What about a good God, we said? Amen. God is better than a good man. A good God is better than a good man. And, you know, God will be good to us. Amen. Better than our parents. That's that same attitude again. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask him? Amen. And if he give us Jesus, the Bible said he'll freely give us all things. Amen. In actual fact, Jesus is the heir of all things, and we are his joint heir.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. Amen. So all of the things in the world, you know what? God didn't give those things to be to be used in Satan's kingdom with his agenda. God put all them things in the earth for his children. Amen? And God also loves people. He reigns on the just and on the unjust. God loves people, reaches out to people and all of those things. But you know what? So it's amazing. Sometimes people think, you know what? All of those things are worldly. That's the attitude. Worldliness is not things. Worldliness is the whole system and the attitude towards the things. Nothing wrong with things. God put the things in the earth. God put the laws in the earth. God put the substance in the earth. God put all the materials, the raw materials and everything to go with it in the earth. All the devil has done is infiltrate many times religion, have people that are religious figures teaching poverty to people and bringing a whole people into bondage and thinking that all that stuff is worldly. So then you end up with a bunch of Christians after hundreds of years of having this thinking ingrained in them that poverty is next to godliness and stuff like that, that they have it ingrained in their thinking to the point that then they think everything is worldly. If you have something nice, it's worldly. You know, they think humility is living low below the poverty level. That's humility. Whereas humility is a heart attitude. It's all heart. It's heart, 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 heart. It's all your attitude towards things. It's all not putting God before things. That's what it is. Put God first in everything. Have the relationship with God, and then everything else, you know, works out. Because you know what? You can have your nice car, but you're not going to worship it. You don't think you're better than anybody else. You have your nice car or your nice house, but you don't think you're better than the person where you drive past someone that doesn't have a house like that or whatever, have nice things. It doesn't make you better than anybody. It just means you can sleep more comfortably. It means you can sit in a nice chair. It means you can have nice things in life. Amen. And God wants you to have nice things in life. I mean, some people would never even say that, because it sounds like then you're money-minded and all of those kind of things. It's a crazy religious attitude that you come up against whenever you hit on money or anything around it. All the demons come from everywhere, you know what I mean? All the religious demons come from everywhere. But for believers, you can do a lot more in the move of God with money than you can without it when it comes to advancing the move of God. Amen. And then in your own personal life, it's better to have more than enough than to be on empty. Amen. It's far better to have more than enough. And you know what? I'll just be honest. I'm not where I believe I should be. Amen. But I'm believing God to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'm not. Sometimes people think, oh, you preach that, you must be loaded. No, I'm not loaded at this present moment in time. I'm not loaded. Yeah, but I'm believing God for that I'll always have more than enough. I'm believing God. I believe that the grace of God is abounding towards me. I believe that I'll always have all sufficiency in all things that I can give to every good work. And you know what? You know, there's times whenever you're not where you want to be, but you'll not get there getting on the different road. You get there by getting on the road of faith. And believe in God to see the goodness of God in the land of living. You get on poverty highway, that's where you'll go. Amen. But you can get on faith highway, and you can be at that place where you may not have everything. You look at people in the Bible, like David, we'll hit on him maybe next time. You know, that everything wasn't always perfect in his life, but he was trusting God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. He was following the good shepherd, and goodness and mercy was following him all the days of his life. And if you can't see it, the blessings of the Lord, they'll overtake you. Amen. Amen. They will overtake you. I've had the blessings of God overtake me many times in my life. Amen. But you'll only get that if you're on the right road. You know, and it's not about being good enough. It's about believing. You believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You'll never be good enough to deserve God's goodness. You receive God's goodness by faith. You find out about it, and you hear about it, and you hear about it until you believe it, and then you start speaking it. You start speaking the goodness of God. You get such a good image in you of your Heavenly Father that when somebody says anything that's opposite to your Heavenly Father, you're like, that's not my Father. You can have that image if you want for a God, but I'm telling you, my God is a good God. Amen. Something in you, you contend for it. You fight for it in that sense, not against people, but the good fight of faith, where you're going to fight to stay in that place of believing God to see the goodness of God in your life, in your family's life, amen, in your children's life, in your grandchildren's life. Praise God. Amen. So there was provision in the garden, and God called it good. Amazing how religion will call it worldly. Worldly. That's worldly stuff. No, it was the provision of God that God put in the garden. Amen. Now, what I want to look at for a bit this evening, I just want to talk on the land of abundance just for a bit this evening. Because, like, you know, it's called the land of abundance. I don't know how people can read the Bible. God brought them into a good land. Into a land actually called abundance. How do you talk about a land of abundance and then say God wants to keep you poor? It's religion. So let me just start here this evening, because God does want to bring us into good things. Amen. He wants us, you know, Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. That is, like, first and foremost, get saved. But out of that life, it's Zoe life. It's abundant life. So what does God say a good land looks like? That's what I'm going to hit on here just for a moment. But I'll just call these out here this hour. Just read these out here this evening. Exodus 3 verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrow." Let me tell you, if hardship, pain, lack, and struggle was the will of God, he had just left them there, because that's what they were experiencing. You know, some people talk stuff about, you know, pain and sorrow and suffering. Oh, God's perfecting me and all. No, God sent the Holy Ghost to teach us. Amen. Yes, God can use a circumstance, not the circumstance itself, but many times a circumstance will cause a person to go and get in their Bible and to start trusting God and believing God to get them out of what they're in. So it's not the circumstance. It's applying the Word. It's getting the Word of God in you. The Holy Ghost is the teacher of the church, not pain and sickness and, you know, all of those. They're not the teacher of the church who said God brought that into your life to teach you a lesson. God sent the Holy Ghost so that we could know the heart of God. You can't know the heart of God because you went through a sickness or a terrible situation. You'll know the heart of God whenever the Holy Ghost reveals the heart of God to you through the Scriptures. Amen. So if God wanted them to stay in lack and struggle and all of those things, he would have left them in Egypt. But the thing is, some people just haven't been at a place where they hit rock bottom. A lot of people talk, I've heard people talk before about struggle and all of these things, and they leave the church and they get into a brand new car, and you're thinking, you know, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. Do you know what I mean? Sitting there talking poverty and all of this kind of, and then step out and getting a brand new car. You know, and about struggling, and we're struggling in life and all of those kind of things. It just doesn't add up for me. Things like that, you observe, you know what I mean? praise God. But you know what? Some people hit rock bottom and then they realize how hard it is. You know, when you minister to people, I've ministered to many people at rock bottom. It is not a nice place to see someone. But here's the goodness of God. God can take someone from rock bottom, amen, and cause them to get into a place where they end up walking in the blessings of God, where they end up having provision and all of those things. And it's not just all about money. I'm hitting on money at the minute. But I've seen people, we've people in our lives at the minute like that were, you know, lived on the street, you know, addicted to drugs, stuff like that there, you know, that we've ministered to in the last, you know, years as well with people. But, you know, in the last year, ministered to many people, seen people who were at rock bottom. It's not a nice place to be. It's not nice when you see someone struggling, when you see someone, you know, and they're talking to you and they're shaking because they are really at rock bottom. You don't see anybody like God saying, this is the goodness of God in my life. They're crying out to God. That's what the children of Israel were doing. The pressure was so hard on them with taskmasters that they were crying out. God doesn't want us living with taskmasters beating the brains out of us. Amen. That's the Satan's kingdom. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Thank God we've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. Amen. We're in the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. God said, I am come down to deliver them out, amen, out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land onto a good land. God can take you out of that place into a better place in life, amen. Onto a what? A good land. What's a good land? We'll see tonight. Here's part of it. A large land. Onto a land flowing with milk and honey. That is abundance, not scarceness, flowing. Do you mean you talk about the things of God? A good land, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Oh, praise the Lord. I love my honey, I have to say. I love this honey too. But I love my honey. I love honey and honey and tea, honey and everything. I like my honey. Amen. But thank God for honey that is flowing. Amen. Flowing with milk and honey. That's a picture of provision. Onto the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivites and the Jebusites, there was enemies there, okay? But here was the thing as well. God was going to bring them into a land. There was giants in this land. That's why it was large things there, amen? So there was big things there. No, giants build big things. Giants made nice things. God brought them into a land where there was provision, abundance. In verse 10 it says, actually, this is Deuteronomy 6, verse 10, it says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them great and goodly cities, or good cities, which thou did not build. Do you know what? God can give you things that you don't deserve in that sense. You didn't. God can give you things and you'll just turn around and say, that is the goodness of God. Amen. That was God's provision in my life. And look what it says there as well. The Lord shall have brought thee into a land which he swore unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. You know what? God has given his word. And just because you don't see it at the moment doesn't mean to say God hasn't given his word. You believe God's word. Amen. It's just a matter of time. When you take a hold of God's word, it's just a matter of time. Because God is sworn by his word. God does not change. I'm the Lord God, I change not. Amen. And some people, they just don't give things a lot of time. So there are some people that they're like, you know, oh, I believe God, I started to give, and you know, I started to believe God, and it hasn't worked. And how long were you doing it? Oh, well, I've done it a month. And you're like, okay, well, with that attitude, you know what? That's not the way it works. It's a lifestyle of a giver. It's a lifestyle of seed time and harvest, seed time and harvest, seed time and harvest. It's a lifestyle. You believe it. You just live by it. You live as a giver. It's not this, you know what, I tried that for a week or I tried that for a month and, you know, God's word doesn't work. No, God's word does work. God's word does work. Faith works.
Amen.
Amen. It says, and houses, look at this here, full of all good things. I'm reading that out of the Bible. Amen. Full of all good things. That's nice things in your house.
Thank you, Lord.
It's nice chairs. Nice wardrobes. Amen.
Nice garden.
Nice garden.
Amen.
Nice summer seats. Amen. Nice things. You don't have to be sitting there, you know, with a portable from 1980. This thing's been working great to now. You chuck the thing in the bin, go and buy a flat screen. Amen. We used to be up in the bedroom. We had a wee portable in the bedroom, a wee black and white one at one time, and you'd be up there with the aerial trying to get a picture on the thing in the bedroom so that you could see the A-team. You can just watch it on your phone. It's amazing. But a house full of all good things. Some people are holding on to their broken stuff and all of that kind of stuff, and that's okay if that's all you have at that time, but you know, God can give you a chair with four legs, amen. When we have to balance yourself when you sit on it. Praise God. Full of good things which thou filled not, and wells dug which thou dig not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. When you've eaten and are full. An empty belly is not God's will. Amen. Unless you're on a diet. You're cutting down for a bit or whatever. But when thou hast eaten and be full. Amen. God wants us to have nice things. Good things. Now, and it gives a warning here, and this is where the balance comes in, because our lives are not about things. Our lives are about God, who is a good God, who will give you good things in life. But don't get your eyes on the things. Get your eyes on God. At the end of the day, everything that we get in life is only things. Amen. And I heard a statement years ago and it stuck in my head. God doesn't care if you live in a 10-bedroom thing or a 3-bedroom thing. It's still a thing. Amen. God doesn't care if you've got 10 bathrooms, you know what I mean, or 2 bathrooms, as long as it's a thing.
Can you wash yourself?
Yeah. It's not about the things. And it's not about, you know, just, and it's not, as I said the other week, it's about contentment in life at the end of the day. Some people can be driven just money, 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 and their whole life is, they're never content. But there's some people are content with a 3-bedroom thing. Some people are content with a 5-bedroom thing. Some people are content with a 10-bedroom thing. But it's only a thing.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's the attitude to have with everything. God's a good God. Just don't now become possessive of everything that I have, and the things now they make me better. Now that's my thing, and that's my thing, and that's my thing. No, God says when you get to that stage, get your eyes back on Him. Get your eyes on the giver of every good thing. Recognize it all comes from Him. And that's what it says there. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. That's the trap. The trap is when we prosper to forget about God. I've seen people prosper and then they stop going to church. And you're like, what? Who gave you all this stuff? Who blessed you? Who enabled you? Who gave you the wisdom? Who gave you the ideas? Who gave you the creativity? Who gave you it all? God, praise Him. As long as you pray, you keep your eyes on God, everything's great. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. It is good to remember where you came from. Amen. Not to go back there, but to remember what God done for you. To remember how good God has been to you. Amen. When you experience the things, thank God. And you know what? It keeps you in the right place. You know what? Where were we all? I'm sure for all of us in this room, we're all in different places and things in life. And look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
And look what God has done for us. Amen. And you know, we're trusting God and worshiping God. And we're out during the week praising God and worshiping God. You know why? Because things aren't number one in their lives. God's number one in their lives. That's what it comes down to. That's the balance of it all. Always keep God first and foremost in our lives. Amen. And Deuteronomy 8 and verse 7, it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land." Amen. "A land with brooks of waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive and honey. A land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." It says, "Thou shalt not lack anything in it."
Praise God. Yeah.
Amen. "A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." All the raw materials that you need to have success in life. That's where God brought them, into a good land, good things, good provision. And then give them the ability. Give them the ability and the wisdom to utilize everything that was around them. That's the goodness of God. When you have abilities, when you have the ability to use your hands or use your head, or that is the provision of God. It's sitting all around us. Provision. God has put abundance in every one of His children. And He's given us the wisdom of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Jesus has made unto us wisdom. God has put provision in us. Given us seed, given us provision, given seed to the sower. It's all there, why? Because God loves us. God is a good, good God. And then it goes on to say, "When thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt" what? "Bless the Lord." Every time you get something good, bless the Lord. Do you know what? Praise, it removes pride out of your life. And it allows you to recognize where everything that you have in life comes from. You always watch if you're complaining. Turn over the record. Play side B. Amen. Well, really, it should be play side A. Side B is the negative thing. Play side A. Get back to being thankful. Thank you, Lord. 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 Bless you. Praise you. That should be our lives every day.
Amen.
Amen. The fastest way out of depression, the fastest way out of all of those things is to start thanking God from the moment you get up in the morning till you go to bed at night.
Amen.
Not there will get you into depression, or that there will get you into praise and worship and thankfulness. And God, you are good. You're a mighty God. You're an awesome God. So a lot of people complain about what they don't have, instead of thanking God for what they do have. And if you start there thanking God for what you do have and stay in the Word, you'll get in faith, and then you'll start thanking God for what's coming down the line. You'll just live a life of thankfulness. You won't look at it and say, "I don't have this and I don't have that." You'll be thanking God, "That's in my future. That's in my tomorrow." You end up just praising and worship. Bless you. Worship you. Good God. Mighty God. And when your back's against the wall, "God, you're good. You're a mighty God. You're bringing me through, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. You're taking me. You've already taken me out of the land of bondage. I may be in the place at this moment in time where it looks like I'm in the place of just enough, but I'm going to the place of more than enough." You just stay in faith. You're always thankful. When you get things, when you're full, thank the Lord. It keeps you out of pride, but it also keeps you in a place of faith. Thanking God all the time. Amen. Praise God. It's awesome to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord isn't just saying, you know, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord is when you say things that minister to His heart. God, you are good. You are mighty. I love you so much. Thank you for sending Jesus. I am so thankful for having you as my God. You're a good God. Amen. And again it says here, well, actually, let me read down here again. Yeah, when thou hast eaten and are full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He give thee. That's grace. They did not earn that land. They possessed what God already gave them. God already told them it's yours. You're not trying to earn the land. You just go into the land. I'm with you. You just go in there with. You just go in. I've already given it. You're not trying to get it. It's yours. Go in. That's what God was telling them. He gave them the land. That's the grace of God. And then again it says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command you this day. You know what? We're not Old Testament believers. We're New Covenant believers. We live under the commandment of love. Amen. And the thing about living under the commandment of love, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen. Who enables us to understand the love of God and to walk in the love of God. God wants us to live a holy life, but God, we don't live a holy life by keeping the Ten Commandments. We live a holy life because we live in the Spirit. The Bible lets us know that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. And when you're in the Word of God, what happens is that when you stay in the Word of God, you read the New Testament epistles as your meat. Where you live, you learn from all the Bible. You can learn the heart of God from all the Bible. But we're New Covenant believers. In the New Covenant, as we read the epistles, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He's going to make that living on the inside of you, as He can all the Word when He reveals Jesus through it and what Jesus has done. You can read all the Bible through the lens of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And what happens is life is released. And you know, God has put His love in us. And when you understand God's love for you, what happens is you then start to love Him. That's how it works. It's not about, you know what, I'm going to keep all these commandments. No, you get a revelation of how much God loves you by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. That covers the first half of the Ten Commandments. It won't be a commandment. I learned the catechism, all of those things from a child. Can't remember them all now, but I learned them when as a child. Used to know them off by heart. Haven't read the catechism in years, but I knew all of those questions. They're all good. But you know what? It's only the Holy Ghost that can make that living in you to where you really love God. You know what? I can desire and say, you know what? I'm going to love God and I'm going to keep all of these and I'm going to love God. But you know what? It's the Holy Ghost who shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. And when you get an understanding of God's love for you, do you know what happens? You fall in love with God. I never have to think about, you know, not putting anything before God. Why? Because I know how much God loves me. I know the love of God. I've experienced the love of God. I live it. I have a revelation of it through the Scriptures to where nothing will take God's place in my life. I'm not struggling. I'm not trying to keep things. I understand God's love. And I love Him because He first loved me. And the more you know how much He loves you, and get a revelation of it, not just as, you know, sometimes people say, oh, that's just easy. That's easy. Because they want to bring you into bondage. They want to put you under a yoke of bondage that Peter said neither we nor our fathers could keep. So they want to put you under those 600 plus commandments in the Old Testament. The New Covenant is easy. You have love. And I tell you, when you understand God's love for you, you will love God. And when you understand God's love for people, you'll love people. And when you love people, you know what? You won't covet their stuff. You'll bless them. When you see them get something nice, you won't be saying, oh, look at them. No, you'll be saying, praise the Lord. God, you're a good God. Look what you've done for that family. I know what that family's been going through. You know what I mean? Your attitude's different. You won't be coveting your neighbor's wife or stuff or any of those. You won't be stealing from them because you love them. Instead of just gritting your teeth, I won't steal, I won't steal. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal. I won't steal, I won't steal. The New Covenant is superior. It's still the same. It covers all of the Ten Commandments. Love covers the Ten Commandments, but it's organic. It's living. It's not just, here's 10, I'm going to keep that. No, I have the Holy Ghost in me, revealing the Word and giving me a love for God and a love for people as I walk in the Spirit. Amen? So, but the same thing is, don't forget God. Don't forget it's God who did everything for you. Praise God. I'll just throw us out as well. I was looking at this today with the 10, the 12 spies. 10 came back with an evil report. Do you know what they came back with, an evil report? Yeah, they say, oh yeah, it's all there and all the rest of it. But they brought an evil report of the land. You know what God calls good, call good. But Joshua and Caleb, they said it was good. Let us go up at once and take it. And the people, you could basically put it this way, they fought for to stay in the land of lack, or just enough actually in the wilderness, just enough. Even wanted to go back to the land of lack. But they were in the land of just enough in the wilderness. And they fought to stay there. And they did, they died there. Amen. And they had to wait a whole generation. The rest of the people all died off. But Caleb was able to turn around and say, see that mountain? Give me that for my inheritance. 45 years later, at the age of 85, he entered into the goodness of God. Amen. By taking that mountain. Do you think about it? He had to walk around there in the land of just enough, believe in God that there's better. But he didn't let go. Do you know why? Because he got a glimpse of it. He got a glimpse of it. And he held on to it and believed God that there's better. And in that land there was enemies. And I tell you, there's enemies to us possessing what God has for us as well. Or to hinder, there's enemies to hinder us from possessing what God has for us as well. I'll call these quickly because I don't want to come back to this next week. But look, there was the Bible talks about the children of Anak. That was the giants that they seen. And you know what? The actual word, it means to strangle, to choke. And there's people who will choke the word right out of you when you hear in the goodness of God. They'll choke you. The Bible talks about the thorns growing up and choking the word and it becoming unfruitful. There's the Amalekites. And their meaning means posterity. They had roots down in there. You know, sometimes people say, oh, it's always been this way and that's the way it'll always be. You know what I mean? Because they've roots down into things. You know, so you hear sometimes people say things like, you know what, all the money's tied up. There's nothing left to invent. You know, all of these kind of things. It's just, it's like things that they'll always be the same. You know, they're enemies to possess in the land that God has for us. The Hittites, they mean to break down by violence, by confusion and fear. Fear, terror, panic will prevent you from entering what God has for your life. They're enemies. Perfect love casts out fear, and fear has torment. The answer is to stay in the love of God. Stay in that place of the love of God. The Jebusites, they mean to trod. And I tell you, the enemy will try to beat you down, trod as in to crush. That's what the enemy tries to do, tries to beat you down. You try to, you know, it's like the crabs in the bucket. You know, you don't have to put a lid on a bucket of crabs. You know why? Because crabs will pull any of them that tries to get to the top down. And the enemy tries to put you down. Who do you think you are? Do you know where you're from?
Yeah.
No, that kind of an attitude. The enemy will try to beat you down. But I'm telling you, the enemy's under your feet. And you are blessed and highly favored. The Amorites, again, they were giants that were in the land, in the mountains. But their word means the meaning of their name means to boast, to speak against, to have arrogance. And it's that same kind of attitude as well, looking down. Sometimes circumstances are so big they can look down on you. You can feel like at the bottom. But faith will put you in a place. Caleb turned around and said, "You see that mountain? Give me that. Give me that mountain." Amen. And you know what? That attitude of "give me that mountain" can be whatever God's put in your heart. It could be a house. It could be, you know, a ministry. It could be a business. It could be just something that God has put in your heart to say, "God, you've put that in my heart. Give me that." Amen. Show me how to possess that. The Canaanites, it means to humiliate, to bring down low. And I tell you, that's what the enemy exactly wants. What he wants to do is he wants to keep you down low. He wants to subdue you. That's what that means. But how many know we were given authority? To have, to subdue and to have dominion. That's what God gave us. It's just the enemy. These are things that come to try and stop you, to try and press you down. The parasites, it means like rustic. It means rural living, like separate. It's like nothing wrong with, you know, rural living, like as in living in the country. I know many of you guys do, but you know, sometimes people have said, you know what, that's simple way of life. And sometimes the enemy will make you feel like you could never do that. Do you know what I mean? That's that attitude as well. I've seen it even in some Christians. Some Christians, they don't want to advance. They want to live. They want to live like back like 100 years ago. You know, something that I've seen over my life. Amen. They have an attitude sometimes that advancement is evil. But let me tell you, the Bible started off in a garden. In Revelation, it ends in a city. And God is the God of advancement. That's why God gives you abilities and all of those things so that your life can advance. God doesn't want us to stay. It's always been this way. You know what I mean? You know, my family was like that. They were all like that. And I'm like that. You're in the family of God. Ask your father, God, what is it you have for my life? Because God could cause you to go like David from looking after sheep to being a king kind of an attitude. So you have to ask God what God has for you. Or Peter, a simple fisherman, to being a fisher of men. Amen. Praise God. Let me just say this here as a finish. The enemy wants to choke out your vision, hinder you from progress, keep you with small, simple thinking, cripple you through fear and confusion, trample you into the ground, and dominate you into humiliation. But God wants to take you into a good land with good things. Amen? And that's just how simple it is. But there is enemies to try to hinder you from what God has for you. That's why we fight the good fight of faith. We're not fighting people. We're fighting to stay in faith for what it is God has for our lives. Amen. Amen. Praise God.